Everyone gets their cravings while watching the games, and no one wants to be the one to miss the big play. Well, now Grubhub's got you covered. From the extras to the essentials, Grubhub now delivers all your go-to convenience items all day long. Whether it's that late-night snack craving or you forgot to get the paper towels from the grocery store, enjoy convenience delivered right to your door, just in the nick of time, and you'll never have to leave the house. Order your convenience items through the Grubhub app or online today.
It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com on the Giants mobile app. What? What? Hello?
Where is that? We got a ghost in the building.
He's Jeff Feagles. I am John Schmelk. I'll only be for about 10 minutes, folks. I came in to watch practice, and you know, and now I'm here talking to you. And we're going to talk schedule release. Lance will be with us, too, as soon as he graces us with his royal presence. We'll have him. And, of course, the Giants schedule release last night. Go to Giants.com. You can, of course, check that out. I'm not going to run through them game by game. I'm assuming you have it in front of you or have at least
looked at it.
Yeah. I'll go through it real quick, right? At Tennessee, home versus Carolina, home versus Dallas, home versus Chicago, three straight home games there. You got to take advantage of that. Home versus
Green
Bay, home versus Baltimore. Then you're at Jacksonville, at Seattle. That Green Bay game, by the way, is in London. Pardon me. You get the bye week in week 9. Then you're home versus Houston, home versus Detroit, at Dallas, home versus Washington, home versus Philly, at Washington, at Minnesota, home versus Indy, and at Philadelphia. Mr. Feagles, your thoughts?
Well, automatically, I look at the end of the schedule. Three of the four games are on the road. And then I look at the first four games. You got three of them at home. So that's pretty good. But that's a little stretch in there in the second quarter of the season. Those are some you're on the road against Green Bay going across the pond. You got a tough one against the Baltimore Ravens. And then you go away to the Jaguars and then Seattle. That's a tough little stretch right there. But there's some wins on this thing. I'm telling you, there's some wins in here.
Jeff, we knew what the opponents were going to be when this thing came out, obviously. So I think when you look at how they're arranged, and Pearson, just give me a shout when Lance is there, just to tap me on the shoulder so I can annoy him. I'm looking forward to that more than anything else. So you got, if you look at the schedule here, Jeff, you know, at Tennessee to start the year, that is a tough game.
Yeah,
that's a really difficult game. They'll be healthy. Derrick Henry will be ready to go. So you better have your big boy pants on for that game, because they're going to bring it. Carolina is interesting. Yeah. You know, they don't have a very good quarterback, but they have a very good defense. Mm-hmm. So that's a game that you'd find interesting. Dallas, always tough, obviously. That's the Monday night game, as you mentioned. Chicago, to be frank, might be one of the worst teams in the league. And then you have the trip to London, and then your home versus Baltimore. You know, Lance, I'm listening at home. It's like 12:04. I'm like, the show's
started.
Had nothing
to do with this, Lance, just telling you.
I better pop on and start the show, because I was tired on waiting on Lance. Is this what happens when I'm gone? You just start showing up?
No, not at all. We had a plan in place. I actually did not realize that you were making an appearance.
No,
neither did I. That's why I told you. I have nothing to do with this.
No, I'm totally surprising everyone. I just came in for minicamp practice, and they're stretching, so I figured I'd pop in and
say
hi.
You know what the greatest thing about this whole thing is? I'm sitting in John's seat.
Yes, you are.
Where John normally sits here.
That is true.
And he has his in the little seat over there where I normally sit, right by the telephone with all 9 inches of the desk that I get to work from.
You can slide the phone.
So now you've returned the favor.
Yes,
I have.
Is what you're saying.
Jeff is in the power chair. No question about it. By the way, Lance, I got your card. It was a very funny joke in there. I did laugh.
Okay.
Despite the fact
that
it was negative. It was a negative comment about the Knicks, but it was written in a funny way. So
okay.
I found it amusing. Thank you for
the attention.
Thank you very much, sir. It was much appreciated. Everyone is doing well at home. I'm sure everybody cares.
Well, that is certainly good to hear.
So, Lance, the point I was just making, I'm curious your take. We obviously knew who the opponents were going to be. And, again, you never know how these teams are going to be this year. That's the caveat. But the start of the schedule is tough, man. In your first six games, you know, there aren't that many playoff teams on this schedule. When you look at it in total, in fact, the only playoff teams are Dallas and Philly, who obviously they're in the division, and Philly was by the skin of their chinny-chin-chin, the Packers, the Titans, and the Ravens, and you have four of those six teams on your schedule to start the year. So, you know, we talked about this a lot, right? The Giants need to get off to a fast start. Well, the schedule makers did not make it super easy in their first six games, because then you hit a stretch of four teams, three of which had top four picks in the top three picks. Pardon me. You faced the Jaguars, the Lions, and the Texans, the three teams that picked first, second, and third in the draft last year. So if you can kind of get through those first six games and be in a decent spot, you'll be in a position where at least those are games that you're not going to be big-time underdogs in, you don't think, in that middle stretch from week 7 to week 11 when you have Jacksonville, Seattle, Houston, and Detroit.
I think you got a good chance of coming out of the first four games with 2-2. I mean, I look at the Panthers and I look at the Bears. Those are
winnable
games.
Well, Panthers, and Bears, you should be okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and then the old dreader, we had a call yesterday, Lance. Remember the one caller said, for the 10th year in a row or whatever it is, I don't want to be 0-2. Well,
yes.
I mean, this is looking pretty good right here. Maybe 1-1. I don't know. Maybe you
Well, you know, it's the old paper test. You never know how the paper test plays out because there's teams. Here's the thing. You know, guys, there's always teams every year that right now look like question marks. We don't know what's going on with quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks is the big question, yeah.
Correct. But then there's always the surprises every year.
Yep.
Somebody who we're not banking on. Correct. The Giants could fit in that category, Jeff, to your point. But when you don't know that, sometimes I'm a little bit leery of penciling in, okay, it's very high percentage you could go to 2-2 and so forth. Because, John, you were laying out how maybe the schedule opens up. But here's the thing. Jacksonville's got Doug Peterson, new scheme, Trevor Lawrence year two. Who knows? Maybe the Jaguars do make a jump.
No, and Lance, but frankly, out of that group, it's Jacksonville and maybe even Detroit because they had a couple of really high picks that I think are dangerous in that group of four.
Sure. No, and I would agree with you because that was going to be the other team I was getting at. Dan Campbell year two, meaning they've established things. They've added some talent around Jared Goff. They add Aiden Hutchinson. So, you know, those teams are a bit of wild cards. Seattle right now is in transition. No Russell Wilson. So you feel good about, hey, you're traveling cross country, but you don't have to deal with a Russell Wilson. And remember, you went out there not too long ago. Granted, the team changed and you actually beat them and you didn't have Daniel Jones in that game. So I don't know if that's maybe as intimidating as a contest as in previous years, but Jacksonville and Detroit I certainly wouldn't overlook because I think there's been enough changes and there's intrigue surrounding those teams that those are not necessarily layup lines or gimme games.
Yeah, and Carolina too. You know, I know the quarterback's a big issue, and I was one of the conductors on the Sam Darnold train for a few years. I have a foot
off. You jumped
off
the train.
I might be on the tracks at this point.
You just got smothered by
the
train.
Yes, I might be. And that's a question, but the rest, like I've said it before, they have a good roster. Yeah. Like their defense is good, legitimately good. They have DJ Moore, who's a good wide receiver.
McCaffrey's
and here's
healthy.
Here's the other thing. Jeff, you just made a good point. You got the two teams with probably the two best running backs on the schedule that you're facing week one and week two. So the chance you're getting, I'm serious, the chance that you're getting Henry and McCaffrey when they're healthy is actually pretty high, and that's not going to do the Giants any favors because obviously they're going to be at the best when those guys are healthy.
Yeah. I mean, the first game with Henry, that's the one that scares you a little bit. You know, they're a good team. But, you know, I think that you don't want to look ahead, but I feel like, you know, the Titans is a game you're going to have to go on the road. It's opening up new system, new everything.
Titans are a good team, man.
They
have a
really
good defense.
So that's going to be a really tough game. But I think I'm with you, John. I think the Panthers are a team that are on paper aren't as bad as you think they are. And just the quarterback position, which, by the way, is very important. But the fact is that they have other weapons on that team and their defense is pretty good.
And I'll say this, too. You know, this newly formed offensive line is going to get tested early.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Tennessee's got a great defensive line. The
Bud
Panthers
Dupree.
Have a Bud Dupree and Simmons, obviously in the middle of that line too, with tackle.
Harold Landry as well.
Yeah, and Simmons is one of the people don't talk about him. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league right now.
Like,
he's right up there with Chris Jones and all those guys. You know, the Panthers have a very good front with Brian Burns. If you don't think Evan Neal's going to get a full service of Brian Burns in that game, you're crazy. He is. Dallas with DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, Dante Fowler they brought in. They have a pretty good defensive line. So those first three games are going to be a real early test for this Giants front up front.
Yeah.
Well, and the Panthers, too. I would throw out some of their personnel in terms of who they're going to be throwing out. The big boys, Derek Brown, for example. They added Matt Ioannidis from Washington, who certainly has familiarity with the division and their secondary. Brian Burns is another guy I would mention up front. So I'm with you. There's no doubt about it. We're going to learn a lot about this Giants offensive line. But heck, guys, we've said that the last few seasons, right? I mean, how many times have we looked at the schedule? Because remember, they had Denver to open up last season. We said, okay, you're going to learn a lot about the Giants offensive line. And then remember, Pittsburgh the previous year. This is the third straight season they're opening against an AFC opponent. opponent.
And by
so
the way, Lance, the answers
no different.
And the answers have not been ones that we've liked.
No, they have not. Now, granted, but here we go again. A new group, right?
Correct.
Okay, new faces. So we don't know exactly how these guys will operate. But I think what you have to understand is, from the Giants' perspective, and I think, Jeff, you were alluding to a little bit of this, is they're just as much of an unknown as some of these other teams, because you have new schemes and you have new personnel. And I would flip it around, guys. It's not just that you're going to learn about the Giants' offensive line. Where is Wink Martindale's defense as you need to slow down a very strong run game in Derrick Henry and then Christian McCaffrey? Mm-hmm. Is the pass rush going to be a little bit behind the run defense, vice versa? Where is this young secondary going to be? Because they're going to have to win their battle in the trenches because of the running backs that they're seeing early in the season. And then, as John mentioned, then you get Dallas week three, which is probably going to be their first test from a passing perspective because that group has been together. I know they don't have Amari Cooper, but they still have a lot of established wide receivers. So it's not as if you get some breathing room for Wink to take a step back and say, all right, guys, you know, now we get a team that still wants to continue to run the ball. We'll be able to continue to clean up our run defense. Now, all of a sudden, you get another team that's going to hit you from a completely different perspective.
No question about it. All right, guys, I'm going to head out to practice. Good talking to you.
Goodbye, Schmelk.
Absolutely.
Have an excellent show, boys.
Thank you, Johnny.
Good time.
Seeing you.
A nice surprise here from our very own
Schmelk. That was live, too. That's not a taped session there.
No, John, not at all.
John is real and in person right now.
Well, I hope that you and I are real and in person, too.
We are. And John just
last
came,
time
you know,
I checked, yes.
Yeah, so bye, Johnny. He's so relaxed, you know. He's nothing to do other than to go watch practice and go home and change diapers. So
but that's when the relaxation ends, once you go home and then reality hits you, Jeff. And listen, you know, you've raised a number of children.
No, trust me. Listen, I always used to say that, you know, people would be like, man, how did you like training camp? I'm like, well, being a punter in training camp isn't all that bad, but actually I kind of like training camp. They're like, are you crazy? I'm like, no, you know, I was a month away and didn't have to change diapers. And it was like, I was working. I mean, it is what it is, right? So I told John when I saw him earlier before he came in here, I said, John, are you like a fish out of water or what? He's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm like jittery. I just like, I don't know. I'm like, relax. And before you know it, you'll be back in the building wishing that you were on leave again. So just take it for what it's worth. Just stay home and be good, man.
Correct. Try to capitalize as much as you can at this point.
We got
absolutely.
It here. We can handle
are we
it.
Holding down the fort? Listen, this is not our first rodeos.
Mm-hmm.
We've been around the block.
We've been to tons of rodeos.
100%, yeah. I mean, there's enough rodeos to fill up numerous states at this point.
In fact, we got a lot of clowns on our show, too.
We
so,
do.
I mean, that
well, now we're really
Tino.
Building the parallels.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyways.
It's a three-ring circus, Jeff. If that's been well
established. Lance, I was looking at this schedule this morning and just trying to get a little bit of an idea, kind of, you know, there's some wins on here. You know, I'm looking through and I think there's some winnable games in the first half of the season. You know, and as I was going through here, I don't want to, you know, put this in stone, but I think there's six or seven wins on this schedule with a chance to maybe if this team was one of those teams that, like we talked about a minute ago, maybe the Giants get hot somewhere and, you know, they're healthy and they go through and they get some good production in certain areas, and who knows, this team could compete. But there is a stretch in there that's going to be kind of difficult. There's seven games against teams that finished over 500, so that's a tough one. Some of the other things I was thinking here. So in the first quarter, Lance, you know how we kind of break them down into first quarters? Well, now that we got 17 games, there's one extra game
in
the
fifth quarter.
It doesn't
cooperate fully, yes.
It doesn't cooperate fully, so we'll just put the Eagles game in the last category. We'll just put them aside for a second. But for the first quarters, you got Tennessee, the Panthers, Dallas, and the Bears. I got to see two wins in there. I mean, I really, the home opener against the Panthers, as we talked about, that's a tough game. They're a pretty decent team, but I think the Giants can, you know, they got the home opener for Brian Daboll and his staff. I think there's going to be a lot of energy in the stadium for this new team. You got the young guys, you know, you got Neal and Thibodeau and some of those other draft picks. And depending on how healthy this team gets going into that game, I think that they can steal, you know, they can not steal anything. I think they can win that game. And, of course, the Bears, glad they got them at home this year, because I think the Giants, I can't remember, they constantly go up there to Chicago and play. I think, I don't know how many years in a row they played the Bears now.
It has been,
oh my,
constantly.
Like,
correct.
So I think, that, you know, they're not
well,
a
remember,
very good
Jeff, not
team.
To cut you off, but remember the last time the Bears came to New Jersey was that overtime affair. Remember Tariq Cohen threw the game-tying touchdown on a trick play, and then
my
the Giants outlasted the Bears in OT?
Yes.
That was the last game. And also, remember, Mitchell Trubisky was hurt for that game. So you had the backup quarterback start as well.
That's right.
It's crazy.
Seems like the Bears have always had backup quarterbacks starting.
Pretty much, yes. Don't remind them.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Hoping to gain some stability now with Justin Fields.
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, listen, I think there's people can be excited a little bit. I mean, looking at the schedule, like we talked about yesterday, a lot of planning can go into some things for these for the fans, and it is what it is. But, you know, boy, you look at those division games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the last 5 of the last 7.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and 4 straight during one stretch within that group.
Yeah. Yeah. You got Washington, and Washington is you know 2 out of 3 weeks there. So our prep will be a little bit less in that one. We'll be able to just roll the notes right into the next week. But so those would be good. And I think that, you know, the Giants, they do play Washington and the Philadelphia at home to start the first part of December. So when I'm looking at this, if I'm playing these days, and as we talked about the other day, I'm really happy about the January 1st game. That's at home. I'm not happy about that one because I would want to be on the road on January 1st in the dome in Indianapolis. And then, by the way, if that game was away, you would have back-to-back dome games in the end of December and beginning of January. That would make me very happy.
With Minnesota and Indianapolis,
yeah.
Yes.
And
see,
then,
I thought you were complaining because
I'm not
of
complaining.
The night before. No, with the Indianapolis Colts game, I don't think it had anything to do with the location. I thought you were complaining about festivities from the night before.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm looking at the schedule right here. You've got Dallas. You're playing at home, so that's a dome game. You've got Detroit. You're playing at home. That's a dome game. You've got Indianapolis at home. That's a dome game. So from my perspective, you got 4 dome games and 3 of them are at home. Take this schedule and throw it out the window.
Always taking the punter's concerns into concern.
And that's all I'll talk about it. It has nothing to do with me anymore. So this is if I'm looking at the schedule from my perspective, I wouldn't have liked it. But I think that it is what it is. I think that the league wants those division games at the end of the season, like
Absolutely.
We talked about. They got them. The Giants definitely got them. And of course, you know, you look at these other teams at the end of the year with Minnesota and Indianapolis. You know, those are two teams that you never know what they're going to be doing at that point in time. You know,
it's always a wild card, Jeff, because we don't know injuries. We don't know what rosters are going to look like.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like to go over how challenging the final stretch of a season could be, because we have no idea what those teams are going to look like. But to your point about the NFC East, I actually like when the games are much later in the season, because I do think while injuries is still a wild card, Jeff, you at least feel like you have a better idea of who your team is at that point of the season. And divisional games are by far the most important, because the easiest path to get to the playoffs is to win the division. So I'd rather play a divisional foe week 10 and beyond than have them week 3 or 4 when, especially in the case of the Giants, you're still trying to feel yourself out at that point early in the season.
Yeah, you know the other thing too, Lance, that we didn't know, and I was a little bit surprised, and this is an outstanding move by the Giants. I feel, you know, they did not take their bye after they're going to London. And, you know, we talked about that the other day, not that them not taking it, but having the bye early. Well, this way it puts it at, let's see, 3, 6, 7, 8, right at week 9.
Equidistant.
You couldn't ask for a better bye week in terms of where it lands, in my opinion. Right, this is smack dab, almost right in the middle of the season. So it is middle of season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Like
seven,
I said,
nine.
It's
yeah.
perfectly equidistant.
So I think that, you know, from that perspective, and by the way, you know, they're going to go to London, but that's like, you know, going from here to Seattle, in essence, you know, a 5-6 hour flight. It's the same thing. So I think it's a great idea. They just got to come back and get right back to it, you know. So it'll be a long week for them, and it's just be dependent on when they go over there. You know, the time change and all that kind of stuff. But I think that I like what they did. That was smart.
Well, I'm completely with you. It's interesting because I was actually just taping an interview for my Sirius show this weekend with Charlotte Carey, who is the NFL Director of Broadcasting, and we were discussing some of the ins and outs of the bye weeks, and there are 5 international games this year. So there's 10 teams, Jeff. 7 of the 10 teams have elected to not take their byes following the international game. And we had conversations on this show with you, with Paul, and we always make the assumption, because the norm has been, even if you go back to history, Jeff, more often than not, teams do take their byes after the international game. However, it's not etched in stone. The NFL does allow flexibility. It's the only actual slot in the schedule where teams have a say in what they could do, because they can go to the league and say, you know what, we don't want to take a week 5 bye. We don't want to take a week 6 bye. We'd rather have it late in the season. And it seems as if more and more of the trend, Jeff, has been teams are electing to say, you know what, flying back from London, as you were just pointing out, if we play a 9:30 game local time, meaning for the Giants, I'm not talking about what it is in London, we're going to get back maybe in the wee early morning hours the following day. We're still going to have enough time to regroup, reset our clocks, that it's manageable, that it's okay if we wait to have the bye a little bit later on. And I think the other part of the equation is, this was the big part that I feared for the Giants' sake, Jeff, was if you took the bye after that Packers game, there's a young team, a lot of guys not far removed from college who have barely experienced a 17-game season. From Brian Daboll's perspective, do you really want them to go 11, 12 straight games the remainder of the season without any break? I would think that would be a big rolling of the dice. So that's more of a reason why, if you have some say in it, better off you take it a little bit later on in week 9.
I'm wondering, is the London game for the Giants in October the first game of the international games?
Let me see. I have the list in front of me right here in terms of the international games. The Giants, no, because you have New Orleans and Minnesota taking part in games in week 4. So that's the second game, not the first game.
Okay. Correct. Okay. Yes. All right. And I'm wondering what those two teams are doing as far as their byes.
Well, those two teams also are not taking their byes immediately after. Because as I mentioned, seven of the 10 teams, that are playing international games are not taking the bye. And I have the full grid in front of me, Jeff. It's funny you asked me. So I can tell you exactly. New Orleans has a bye in week 7. And they play the international game week 4. Minnesota, same thing. They have a week 4 game against New Orleans. They're taking their bye in week 14. So they're even further back than New Orleans under those circumstances. The only international teams that are taking their byes after their game, just to give you an idea, Jeff, is Tampa Bay and Seattle are both playing in week 10. So they're going to have their byes in week 11, which makes sense because your international game is much further into the season. And then the other team that is taking its bye immediately after is Jacksonville. They're playing a week 8 international game against Denver. They take their bye in week 9. But both of those situations make sense because your international game is in the week 8 to week 10 barometer.
That's right. Yep. Yep. I totally agree. If the Giants were in week 8, in week 9, I would take it in week 9 too. So I just think that the week 4 and week 5 are very early. And I think all three of those teams that you mentioned, they're all taking their bye. And Green Bay is not either, right? They're also not taking the bye, did you say?
Correct. Green Bay is not taking the bye either.
Yeah. So
they're playing Baltimore the following week. Green Bay is going to have its bye week 9. So they have the same bye week as the Giants.
Gotcha. Okay.
Both teams have the same approach.
Yeah. Green Bay, no, Giants, yeah, because the Giants play Baltimore the week after the London game, not Green Bay.
Correct. I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong chart. You're right. The Giants
for
play Baltimore.
For once in a while, I've been paying attention, Lance.
No, you have been. No, you're right. So I want to stand corrected. Green Bay has the Jets, okay, for those of you counting at home, because a lot of our listeners are worried about the Packers' schedule moving forward. So
it's one of the New York
politically
teams.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a lot of calls on that now.
100%. How unfair for the Packers to play two New York, New Jersey-based teams in consecutive weeks. Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're counting on those as being wins. So
something tells me Aaron Rodgers and company feel pretty good about their situation entering this season based on their track record.
Wow.
But, you know, those are the main takeaways. One or two other things that I just wanted to throw out, Jeff, before we open up the phone lines, and I think you hit on a lot. We mentioned the three straight home games early in the season. So, you know, that's not something that happens very often.
No, not
the fact
at all.
That you really get to settle in after you visit Tennessee, I think that's worth highlighting. And the other thing is, they're playing on Thanksgiving for the first time since 2017 when they played Washington. And this is actually the second ever meeting between the Giants and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. They actually met previously back in 1992. So this is the first time since 92 that they're going to be playing on Thanksgiving against their division rival. And then the other thing that I thought was notable, as of now, just one scheduled primetime game That's week three, Monday Night Football against the Cowboys. Now, granted, flex scheduling could change that. But, Jeff, I don't know about you. As the broadcasters, through my lens, I have absolutely no complaints. I love that. That was the best news from the Giants schedule, that we have one primetime game this season.
I remember a few years ago when the schedule came out and we looked at it and we saw all those primetime games, the 8:30, the Monday nights, the Thursday nights. It was just like, oh, my goodness. That's going to be a 2 or 3 o'clocker right there in the morning. But now I look at all these 1 o'clock games, I am very comfortable with that.
Yes, I am now, completely with
you. And I'm hoping, for the Giants' sake, that some of these get flexed at the end of the season, and that means they're doing well. So we'll see what happens.
Anything is possible. That's why the NFL does leave the flexibility open to make some tweaks, because sometimes you just can't predict what teams are going to be in the mix. And the other thing is, normally you'd have the Thursday night game, right? But the fact that the Giants' Thursday game is on Thanksgiving and it's an early afternoon start, that also eliminates another potential primetime game.
That's right.
So
yeah, it's a 4:30 game.
Yes.
Now, and then you see at the very end of the schedule, they have the Eagle game as a to be determined, and it's on January 7th or 8th.
Correct. Yep, because that's part of the flex scheduling, Jeff. If you remember, there were a few games that were on the Saturday before the end of the season, because especially if there's some games with playoff implications, they want to highlight those separately. And then remember, the games on Sunday, if the Giants game did stay on Sunday, we don't know the time, because that's all going to be based on, once again, playoff implications.
Yep. It's all good, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun, exciting times now that we at least know the order of the games, and everybody is certainly digesting them as we move forward here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. A few reminders before we open up the lines at 201-939-4513. Giant season tickets are on sale now for the 2022 season. Appropriate, considering now we know the schedule. In addition to ticket savings, membership benefits include access to exclusive events, experiences, pre-sales, and more. You can lock in your seats starting at just $100. Call 888-NYG-1925, or you can visit giants.com/tickets for more information. Also, don't miss your chance to experience a premier hospitality experience watching Giants games and world-class concerts in 2022 as a Giants suite partner. Limited full-season locations are available, or you can place a deposit for individual games. Call 888-NYG-1925, or you can visit, for this one, giants.com/suites for more information.
Is there anything more annoying than having to run to the store in freezing cold weather when all you want to do is stream endlessly from the comfort of your couch? Or realizing after just going to 3 different grocery stores that you forgot the toilet paper and refused to enter yet another parking lot? Wouldn't it be nice to have someone appear with the items you're missing right to your door? Well, now Grubhub's got you covered. Grubhub now delivers all your go-to convenience items all day long. Whether it's a craving for something sweet during a commercial break or you forgot those bathroom essentials, Grubhub will deliver anything from the convenience store right to your door. And you'll never have to leave the house. Order your convenience items through the Grubhub app or online today.
Let's open up the lines as we move forward here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's check in with Scott in New Mexico. He gets us going here on Giants.com. What's happening, Scott?
Hi, guys. Just 1 second. Don't feed any of those guys till they sign for Jeff for the Hall of Fame, okay?
That's right. We're going to get them. Yes. I've already been in there kind of politicking around, so we're good. We're good to go.
Yeah.
Scott's
well,
running joke
really
continues,
work.
By the way. Now, see, the problem is, Scott, no, I love the reference, but if no one knows what the heck you're talking about, I feel like it's my obligation and duty to at least provide some context. So real quick, Scott
I'm
made a running
the writers
joke.
Now, so nobody's getting fed until they actually say.
Okay, well, the running joke on this program is Scott is heavily campaigning for Jeff to get the Hall of Fame nod, and he said that he was going to lock up as many people in his basement as humanly possible to accomplish that feat. It's all jokes. No one take it seriously. Everybody is safe in New Mexico, we promise. Yes, go ahead, Scott. Continue.
Okay. I wish we would take one game at a time and not worry about schedules, because you just have to ask Buffalo how they did against Jacksonville last year.
Sure. No, that's a great point.
A good indicator.
Correct. That was a 9-6 loss for the Bills. Yep.
Right. And that was a good point, Lance. It's really, let's take it one game at a time and see how we do, and because injuries and everything else comes into play. But I had 2 questions today. ESPN came out with a depth chart. I'm going to read it to you and see, get your comments on if you think this is the way it's going to play out. And for the starting offensive line, or the starting unit, they have Jones, Barkley, Galladay, Shepard with an asterisk, so I assume Wandell Robinson would fit in that spot. Kadarius Toney, Ricky Seals, Jones, Andrew Thomas, and surprisingly they have Joshua Zudu playing left guard, Feliciano, Glowinski, and Evan Neal. And that's who they say is going to be the starting line for the Giants. So before I go to my the defense, do you kind of agree with that?
Well, the wild card right now is left guard. I have no issue with the other guys that you mentioned. And just to clarify, is this on ESPN.com? Because I'm bringing it up as I speak to you. Is that the one you're looking at?
It is.
Okay.
Yep.
Because there's various other websites, in fairness, that also have depth charts. And as you well know, from the Giants
perspective. Yeah, and I realize this is not the Giants depth chart.
Sure,
this is
sure.
ESPN's chart.
Well, I mean, think about it, Scott. When you look at the left guard position, and Jeff, curious your perspective as well, Josh Azudu right now is healthy, and he's a third-round pick, and he has versatility. Shane Lemieux is an option there as well, but once again, he's coming back from injury. And then Max Garcia is another option, who is a veteran who's been in a few different spots. So, I mean, Garcia and Azudu, in terms of health, are a little bit more in the driver's seat, but I would not rule out Lemieux because they're certainly optimistic that he's going to be a full participant, or at least they hope, by the time training camp starts. So those are probably your three options. But, yeah, I think Azudu's going to get a serious look because of the fact that he is an extremely versatile guy, and they'll probably give him reps, Jeff, at various other positions to prepare him in case somebody else gets banged up.
We've talked about it before. That's going to be the one position that you got to keep your eye on as far as the competition goes.
Right.
And I think that, you know, who did you have – who did ESPN have starting there? Was it
– they had Azudu.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's
instead of Shane Lemieux, which I had ranked second. On their defense, they had Jihad Ward, Lawrence Williams, Thibodeau, Ty Crowder, Blake Martinez with an asterisk, depending upon, you know, if he's healthy, and they had Micah McFadden in his position if he isn't. Ojulari, Cordell Flott, strangely starting, McKinney, Love, and Adoree Jackson. That was their breakdown of the starters. And I happen to think that Belton might challenge to get into that safety spot, but that's my personal opinion. But I just was curious how you feel about that.
You think over Love?
I think a safety, yeah. I think
maybe move Love to corner?
Possibly. That's the way I'm looking at it. If they don't pick up anybody in free agency, I think Julian Love would be the starting corner, the way I would look at the team. But I wanted to get your evaluation of how they're looking at it as far as the – and I thought Cordell Flott was a surprise.
That's why I wanted to bring up the depth chart because, interestingly, Scott, they have Aaron Robinson is third on the depth chart. Jeff, I want to explain
this
because I don't know if you're looking at it.
And
he's third on the depth chart at right cornerback. So it's Adoree Jackson, Darnay Holmes, and Aaron Robinson. And the reason why I'm questioning that is because I really don't think that's at least how the Giants view it. And I don't know when this was last updated, Scott, too. I mean, clearly they put in the draft picks. I'll give you that. But did the person who then put in the draft picks then look at who they had on the back end of the depth chart and whether or not they need to make adjustments? So
I doubt they did that. This was an initial phase one, which was probably done a couple of days ago.
Correct.
So I just wanted to get your overall purview of what you thought of that. And then my second question is, obviously they just signed 10 undrafted free agents. It's a two-part question. One of the guys that was signed was Jashawn Corbin, who I thought should have been drafted. And he's a great running back, and I wonder how he's going to help the team. And then also, just in your overall purview again, how many of the undrafted free agents, generally speaking, do you honestly think will make the team? Is there a perceived number generally, you know, overall that they have statistics on that says of 10 guys, maybe two get signed and make the 53-man roster? I was just curious in regards to that as well.
Well, I think it's very difficult for any of those guys to make the roster, just flat out make it with, you know, there's always circumstances that happen. There's injuries that come up. Some of these guys, I would imagine, are going to make the practice squad, so they're going to be part of the team. But to make that, you know, that final roster, it's very difficult, very, very difficult. But I think if the team likes them enough, they'll stick them around and put them on the practice squad. And that's a further assessment of them as weeks go by, that they can now move these guys up and down as they become more familiar with them. So, and again, with injuries and depth, I think there'll be some of them will be part of it. I look at, you know, the people that are here. I was just looking at this roster. Then it starts with number two and goes all the way down to 98. There is a lot of guys here that I'm looking on this this rookie minicamp. And, you know, how many of these guys are going to make the team that weren't drafted? Not many. It's just the way it is. It's just a numbers game.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
A big part of this is the evaluation process. Yes. And we'll let you go on that note, Scott. Appreciate the phone call. We'll certainly piggyback off of some of his points. If you look at last year's 53-man roster, one undrafted rookie made the initial 53, and that was Raymond Johnson III.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go back previous years, Jeff, the numbers fluctuate. There's been some years where there's never three guys, more than four, I would think. Correct. It's very unlikely. And here's the other thing that I think is important to note, and that's why I found it to be an interesting question. You've got 11 guys in the draft class this year.
That makes it even more difficult.
Correct. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you're a drafted player, you're a lock to make the roster, but I do think that if they drafted you, clearly they have interest in you, and they're going to do everything in their power to see if they can get you on the roster. So if you're taking up 11 spots, let's just operate there. And I'm not saying that you're going to have all 11, but even if you have 9 or 10 of the guys, Jeff, make the roster, compared to the rest of the league, that is a very high volume of players that were drafted. Then we're talking about your free agents that you brought in, your typical veteran group. I mean, realistically, if you play the numbers game, I just don't see how reasonable it is to think that you're going to be able to get 3 to 4 undrafted players on this roster. Now, to your point, could they make the practice squad? 100%. But I think the numbers game with the drafted guys doesn't really make it an extremely opportunistic situation here.
Nope. It's, like I said, it is very, very difficult. And I mentioned this before last week on the show, is that, you know, it's an honor for these guys to be in camp. And I think a lot of them are realistic in the fact that they probably don't know they're going to make the team, but at least they've got the chance to fulfill something, their dreams and their goals, to be able to say that I was in a professional football NFL camp for at least a weekend. You know, but I think that it's important for these guys to get in here and do the best they can and understand. It happens, Lance. You know, some of these guys come out of nowhere. And, you know, again, it all depends. This is a glorified 2-day workout is what this is. This is really and the Giants organization will take names away from this camp. They'll file them, and then they will have them on the short list if something is needed as we get closer and closer to training camp, because there's always things that happen, guys. Remember last year, the two offensive linemen that quit. I mean, you know, it's just like, you never know.
Well, and like you said, you're going to have room on your practice squad. And if they know your system and they've been with you all throughout training camp, there's value in keeping them around unless they get claimed, because then if an injury does happen during the season, you calling up a player who's been with you, as opposed to somebody that you just dragged in off the street who now is going to take a few weeks to learn and adjust to the scheme. So there's value in having some of these undrafted free agents with you in camp, because even if they don't make the roster, A, they're going to help you in terms of practice. Mm-hmm. And then once again, week 7 comes around, you lose a running back. Well, you take a guy off the practice squad and you're like, hey, he was here since May. So, you know, he has familiarity in terms of what we're running.
Mm. Where's their guy? There's another running back on here. Was it Master Teague? Remember that name?
I do remember that name.
Yeah. Yep. He's here on a tryout today.
And there's a lot of guys that fall into that category because remember, they've only actually signed 11, which means that there's contracts. A lot of other guys are just here for a tryout or an invite, which is a real informal type of setting when you look at rookie minicamp.
Yeah, because you're looking how acquired on this. I'm looking at the alphabetical roster for the guys that are here right now. And then it has how they're acquired, and it has tryout, a UDFA, free agents, and then drafted. And then now there is a, let's see here, what's this one say? Free agent in 22, which, by the way, this is Austin Prohl, which I was a teammate of his dad.
Ricky Prohl.
Yep. You guys don't remember him.
Well, and you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because it's important to note with rookie minicamp, there are going to be some free agents who were in the league or about a year or two removed.
Yeah.
You don't just have to only bring in guys that are actually rookies by definition this year. There is a little bit of flexibility.
I'm looking on here. There are some guys here. There's a free agent from Duke. There's an offensive lineman here named, what's his first name? Devery Hamilton. He's a first-year guy out of Duke, so he's a free agent in 21, so he's here. A couple guys here that are, so there's about three guys here that are free agents. The rest of them are draft picks or tryout guys. Yeah, and here's one here. What is this one? NFL IPPP. International player?
International, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, oh, yeah, teams have the flexibility to bring in an international player as part of the international program. That's what that's referring to.
This guy's name is Roy, and he's from Nigeria.
Well, that's the Nigerian offensive lineman.
Yeah, yep.
Connected to Ozzy. Yeah.
6'9".
Oh, yeah, he's quite the presence.
320.
Yep.
Born in the year 2000. Wow.
Making the rest of us feel old. and you even older.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yes. 201-939-4513 is the telephone
what
number.
Is
hashtag
going on here?
Giants chat. I know. When you start seeing people born in 2000, yeah, that is certainly a rude awakening. Let's reopen up the lines. We check in with Charlie in Maine. What's happening, Charlie?
Chuckle.
Hey, Lance. Hey, Jeff. How y'all doing?
Sorry. Well, we could be better. You just called, but we'll move it along. Yes.
Hey, my son, Miller Time, he's there, right, Jeff?
Miller Time? Who?
Your son?
Yeah.
I didn't know that
Andre
you birthed a
Miller
child.
From the University of Maine.
Oh, okay.
He's a wide receiver. He's,
Andre,
he's there.
He's a tight end. They have him down as a tight end here.
See, that's what I love about Charlie. He doesn't even have the correct label for the player that supposedly is his son, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
Doesn't even know what
position he plays.
He's
a wide receiver. He played wide receiver in the University of Maine. He's not a tight end. Why do they always do that? He's 6'3", 225 pounds. I'm sure he can play tight end because he is a really good blocker. This guy's going to stick. But is there any other University of Maine players?
Just like the other guy you said was going to stick got cut the other day. Who is that guy? Do you remember him, Charlie?
Yeah. Rising John.
Who picked him up in 10 hours? The Bears got him. Okay. The Bears have got him.
Well, so now you have more of a rooting interest for that Giants-Bears game now. Yeah. That's assuming he actually makes the Bears roster.
They just improved their roster up there in Chicago, that's for sure.
They did. And if he sticks with the Bears, he'll catch two touchdown passes against us and win the game. Okay. All right? Yeah. And my other son, Sam Beal, is trying out with Miami Dolphins.
Trying out. The word trying out. Yeah.
Leave it to Charlie to track every player that has left the Giants organization.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jeff, is there any other I heard there was supposed to be some veteran cornerbacks trying out today. Have you seen any on your list? And why don't they publish that damn list so everybody can see who's there?
They just want to, you know, make guys like you mad. That's why.
Well, the reason why is because, you know, once again, if you're not under a formal contract, you may not appear, meaning you may have had an invite and then the player doesn't show up. That's mainly why they don't allow that to be out publicly, because it fluctuates. Things change.
And by the way, you're not going to get a name from us unless it's announced by the team. So don't ask us to give you names, Charlie.
You got a list there, right?
This list doesn't include. I'm telling you right now, what I'm seeing here, the list does not include what you're looking for. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's no veteran cornerbacks trying out.
Well,
Shane said there was going to be. So. Yeah, Shane said
Yeah, but that's
was,
not but. Necessarily something that takes part in rookie minicamp. That could be something separate on a separate day, keep in mind.
It could be before they have practice, and they're certainly not going to put it on the roster.
And they never, usually publicly, no team announces who they bring in for a tryout, because that happens all throughout the regular season. They have designated days they bring in guys. No teams make that publicly known.
Okay, let me just talk about the schedule just for a second.
Sure.
Our first four games, we have three games at home, back to back to back. Now, if we don't win those three games, at least two of them, I mean, what I want to see is us finally win home games would be nice. And also, you know how we never started out fast in games? It just seems like we're always flat. And, you know, I mean, we got three home games in a row. We should be, you know, coming out fired up, ready to play. And I hope, like, the first quarter, we actually can score some points. And, you know, then I'll say this team has turned around. But if we do the same thing like we've been doing, you know, lethargic, first quarter, second quarter, they're not fired up, it's a home game. And, we've seen that too often. So all I know is if we lose those three home games, man, fans ain't going to be happy. And the last seven games, five out of our seven games are against divisional foes. So we got to win. We got to go 3-3 in the division at least. I mean, we got to split with these teams, you know, or to have any hope of trying to get to 500. Or, well, I guess we can't get to 500. We got to either be over it or under it. But
boy, the math so that you're breaking down for all of us is just fantastic.
Yes,
that's frightening.
Hey, and don't be surprised. Hey, Carolina, they might not have Donald, you know, starting at quarterback.
Yeah,
they might
it could be somebody
Mayfield,
else. It could be,
you know,
Baker Mayfield. Could be Matt Corral, of
exactly.
course. We don't know at this point. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right,
so,
Charlie.
So anyway, guys, have a great weekend.
You too.
And,
thanks, Charlie.
Watch my son, Miller time.
We'll watch.
Stick.
Yes, because clearly you don't put the kiss of death on players when all of a sudden you get excited on them. I'm sure the level of optimism
no,
for him, if he only knew who was supporting him through backdoor channels, I don't know if he'd feel
he
so
knows
good
you?
About his chances
he knows
of
okay.
making the roster. Yes.
He's your son, yeah. so he knows you, right?
All right, Charlie. We appreciate the phone call. I can't tell you the insight that Charlie
if I'm
to
Andre
table.
Miller yes. and I was on listening to this program and I heard Charlie say that, I would be afraid of what's going to happen to me because now he's jinxed him. That's
correct.
What he's done.
Exactly. There is no player that he has publicly supported that I could think of that went on
other
to
than Will
have
Beattie,
an extremely
Will,
successful
I, but
campaign.
But I think he was a
yeah,
fan
but he wasn't
after
even,
Will Beattie.
Correct.
Yes,
he
exactly.
was not. That's a good correction on your part, yeah. Jeff. He was not on Will Beattie's bandwagon when Beattie joined the Giants.
Right.
It was more of later on in his career, he was desperate for the Giants to bring him back. So that does not get any credit whatsoever. But any other player that he has talked up has either not actually ended up making the initial roster or flamed out, essentially.
Yeah, or gone to another team and didn't make the roster
team.
Either.
Exactly.
And he's lost bets over it before. So I
remember that wide receiver from France who wound up on, what, the Atlanta Falcons, and he talked
like
about how the Giants are going to regret
like
Pepe Le Pew, whatever he called him. Whatever happened to him? Exactly. That was another one. He was on the all-star roster for Charlie. Yeah. We're still waiting for him to make one NFL regular season snap.
Would love to see Charlie's draft board, what it looks like. Oh my God!
Can only imagine the pieces of paper that are on the floor after all the cutouts of guys that didn't get drafted and the frustration as he rips the draft board to pieces. So what we're saying is anything that comes out of his mouth, take not even with a grain of salt, whatever's lower than a grain, okay? How about put that in perspective?
Is there anything more annoying than having to run to the store in freezing cold weather when all you want to do is stream endlessly from the comfort of your couch? Or realizing after just going to 3 different grocery stores that you forgot the toilet paper and refused to enter yet another parking lot? Wouldn't it be nice to have someone appear with the items you're missing right to your door? Well, now Grubhub's got you covered. Grubhub now delivers all your go-to convenience items all day long. Whether it's a craving for something sweet during a commercial break or you forgot those bathroom essentials, Grubhub will deliver anything from the convenience store right to your door. And you'll never have to leave the house. Order your convenience items through the Grubhub app or online today.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Harrison is in Sydney joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's happening, Harrison?
Hey, I can't believe I've got to follow up after Charlie. Can't believe that's just happened.
Huge shoes to fill, Harrison.
I know. Look, I thought Joe Shane absolutely nailed the draft this year in terms of you know, the two top 10 picks, getting Kayvon and Evan Neal was incredible. But the pick that I guess fascinated me the most was Wandale Robinson in the second round, considering he's very, very similar in terms of play style to Kadarius Toney. And considering the last couple of years, you know, we've had a lot of injuries to the wide receiver position. You know, last year, Kenny Golladay had a bit of time out. Toney himself had some time out. Shep, you know, tore his Achilles late in the end of the year. I was just wondering, what do you guys think of Wandale Robinson's role and how he will fit into this offense this season?
Well, I think we've talked about it before. I think that he's going to have a role a lot like Kadarius Toney. And I feel like, you know, them drafting him in the third round just tells you a little bit about, you know, how much they like him and how much they're going to want him to be a part of this offense. Anytime you get Kadarius Toney and both those guys on the field at one time, you know, you're going to have to pick your poison with it. But I also believe, and we've discussed this before, that when you look at the depth at the wide receiver position, you know, you look at Shep, you look at Toney, those guys that have missed some time from injuries and things like that. So you want to try to find a player that will actually be able to complement those guys if they're out of the lineup. They can come in and just plug and play them.
And I think, Harrison, if you look at Buffalo and Kansas City, and Jeff and I were actually emphasizing this on yesterday's program, coincidentally, the Robinson pick to me is maybe a glimpse of the vision that Dable and Kafka have in terms of the style of player they want within their offense. You look at Isaiah McKenzie in Buffalo, Cole Beasley. These were all small stature guys, get out into open space, let them do a lot of the heavy lifting. Kansas City, Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill. So I think that's their vision. They want somebody that's sort of a, maybe not a gadget player, but somebody that doesn't necessarily have to run down the field 50 to 60 yards to make an impact and could be just difficult to tackle because of his shiftiness and can also contribute on special teams.
So would you say that he would be predominantly playing on the outside rather than on the inside? Because I know he's only 5'8", so I would have thought that he'd, you know, predominantly be playing in the slot.
Well, I think they will utilize him in the slot. But if you ask Brian Dable and you go back to what he said after they drafted him, he said that he does have potential in his mind to go to the outside. I think time will tell based on his durability. And also, here's the other thing. If you put Toney and him on the field at the same time, well, they both can't probably play on the outside, especially if you have another wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll mix and match based on the week-to-week opponent and whether or not they envision also utilizing, keep in mind, Robinson was a little bit of a running back at Nebraska and Kentucky. So maybe they run plays for him out of the backfield, and then he's not necessarily lining up in the slot. He could have Toney in the slot and Robinson out of the backfield. I could see some type of scheme that maybe calls for that lineup.
No, that was very good. Thanks for taking my call, boys.
You're welcome.
You got it, Harrison.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for weighing in.
I was going to ask him about the I'm guessing that accent is from Australia.
Correct, yes. Well, I'm assuming Sydney, Australia is where he was calling from.
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay.
So that is a safe assumption.
But there is a punter on this roster, a rookie from Pittsburgh, from Melbourne, Australia, and his name is Kirk Christodoulou? Christodoulou. Okay. I was going to ask him the pronunciation of that. But
okay. Well, that's assuming that he actually knows of the guy, too.
Yeah. Well, maybe I could just spell his name, and maybe that's a family down there that they know that name.
Okay. It could be a popular name. Anything's possible. Yeah. I didn't know where you were going with that. I thought we were making the assumption that everybody knows each other in Australia.
Probably.
It's a pretty big place the last time I checked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got some desert over there that nobody's ever been to before, so... No, but this is the other thing. There's another punter from Melbourne, Australia. Do we not have enough Australian punters over here in the United States? Stay home.
They're taking all your jobs, Jeff.
They are. They're coming over here and taking all the American guys' punting jobs, these Australian guys.
Well, this is what you need to do. You need to start now teaching everybody to play rugby and send them over to Australia to take the jobs of all the Australian players.
Thank you, Lance.
Now return the favor.
That's okay.
That should be the movement.
I'm not doing that, by the way.
I know you're not, but I just figured I'd throw it out so that maybe you'd have another area to take your frustration. Yes.
Anyways.
All right, let's move along here. Yeah, no, go ahead.
One more quick one. Just looking at this roster, I have the name of the day here, and I you probably know what it is already, but I'm just going down here looking at the names because obviously I'm very good at names, and I just want to make sure that I can pronounce all of them. This one I'm very intrigued about. This is an offensive lineman, 6'2", 295 from Appalachian State. His name is Bear Hunter.
Great football name, right?
Bear Hunter, B-A-E-R, by the way. They got their, and he is from Appalachian State, so good to see him. Number 68 for those scoring at home, if you want to watch him. All right, go ahead, Lance. Sorry about that.
Well, no, I was going to say, the name alone, you don't even have to watch him play football.
No,
you're going to tell me you wouldn't want a guy named Bear on your offensive line?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Absolutely. Keep him for the all-name team, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, he's first-team all-name right there in my book.
Without a doubt.
I am going to keep an eye on him.
We certainly don't need to review whether or not he warrants that type of
There's two
label.
Number 68s, by the way, if you get confused by the other one. This guy's Markell. I'd see he's a defensive tackle, so don't get him mixed up. Okay, just
well, there's
know.
Only so many numbers that they have to offer. You know how the preseason yeah. works.
It's
so
a lot of them.
I'm surprised you're putting so much effort and passion into. No offense, guys that may not even make the roster.
Yeah,
normally,
just,
you know, you focus
it, you know?
On the ones that yeah.
Listen,
are be
you know,
here.
I mean, Bear Hunter's parents might be listening to this show.
And anything's
I just wanna,
possible. Very
and
true.
Just want to plug them for a little bit. So
okay,
you know,
I hear where you're going.
That's what
you,
we do.
You're trying to appease
we're givers
all.
Here,
yes.
Lance.
No, well, there's no doubt about it. Let's head back to the Lions. Speaking of giving, Gio is in Texas. He joins us here
Gio.
On Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's happening, Gio?
Hey, hello, guys. First time, long time. I got a comment. Is you know, you guys have been talking about the rookies not playing 12, you know, games straight. If we had an early bye, but I like where the bye is. Plus, couple that with the Thursday game, it's like another mini bye.
Sure.
So it'll give them a chance to catch their breath. So that's good. And then my question about the O-line, you know, I think if the O-line is fixed, I think that's what I call like a force multiplier, meaning it'll contribute to greater wins than, let's say, having Pro Bowl wide receivers, because I think it lifts the boat of the rest of the team, even the defense, because the defense plays less minutes. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Is the O-line the group that has the biggest impact on the offense? And I'll take it offline. Thank you, guys.
All right, Gio. Appreciate the phone call. I think that's a very interesting point, Jeff. If you were to weigh, if you added a Pro Bowl wide receiver versus an improved offensive line, which one would have a bigger impact across your roster, meaning all facets? And I think it goes without saying it'd be the offensive line because
yeah,
here's
no
the
question.
Thing. If you have a Pro Bowl wide receiver, Jeff, the quarterback still needs to get the Pro Bowl wide receiver the football. And if he's not protected and doesn't have enough time to survey the field, especially if it's a vertical threat, it defeats the purpose of having the Pro Bowl wide receiver. And, you know, you could even go to the degree of, and I'm not saying Kenny Galladay had this type of resume, but Galladay certainly was a 1,000-yard receiver when healthy, has the capacity to do that. You added him last season, but he alone, and I understand he didn't stay healthy, clearly didn't all of a sudden turn the team upside down and take it on a different level. So I think you had a little bit of evidence with respect to that internally here with the Giants.
I agree with you. And by the way, you got one Pro Bowl receiver. You've got five offensive linemen. So I think you'll have a better impact in that situation by the offensive line to me is would be, yeah, I'm with you, Lance, 100%.
Especially when you're talking about a team, by the way, that needs to try to get out of the territory of 16 to 17 points per game. And you're looking to make a jump this year, right? Well, one Pro Bowl wide receiver alone is not going to do that for you.
Yeah, no question. And, I mean, we look at the production of Kenny Galladay when he was with the Detroit Lions coming here. We all were thinking, my goodness, this guy's going to be a red zone threat. He's going to catch all these touchdowns. I mean, would any of us believe that Kenny Galladay would not have scored a touchdown in 2021?
Crazy.
I mean, that is unheard of. So I think it even further to the caller's point justifies that the offensive line is much more in that situation, to me, means much more than your single Pro Bowl receiver. Because I think Kenny Galladay could potentially be an all-pro if you had him getting the football a little bit more.
Well, and also it helps your run game. If you have a good offensive line and they're helping in run protection as much as they are in pass protection, then we're not even talking about the Pro Bowl wide receiver, Jeff. We're talking about a completely other facet within your offense. And I'll give you a good example. And I know this team didn't make the playoffs last year, but that's not my point. My point is the Indianapolis Colts, that's a team that if you look, right, if you look on paper, Jeff, at their wide receiver core, they don't have somebody that I think puts fear in the eyes of defensive coordinators that you say, if we don't double this guy, we're in trouble. No disrespect to any of their wide receivers. No. I actually think they have some quality guys. Michael Pittman Jr. in particular, I think is a really solid player, but they don't have the resume that would meet Pro Bowl. But what did they do? They invested in the offensive line. They improved that area over the last few years. They have one of the best running games with Jonathan Taylor. And, Jeff, another piece of evidence is think about how many different starting quarterbacks they've had over the last few years, right? With Andrew Luck and Phillip Rivers and Carson Wentz and now Matt Ryan. And despite that, they have still been productive on the offensive side of the ball. So that team is, to me, the poster child of what we're talking about, how the offensive line can have far more of an impact because it eats into every other part compared to just one wide receiver.
100%. Because, I mean, you look at the way that that offense ran the football, then if you have that type of production, then your wide receiver, you could have a Pro Bowl receiver because, you know, I mean, the team's got to respect the run first, you know, so they're going to be able to. And that was amazing. But look what the Giants are doing here as far as in investing in their offensive line. You know, and maybe one day they can be the same way, because I still feel in the National Football League, you've got to be able to run the football to compete and win championships. You really have to, because if you can't run the football, you can't close out games. And if you're that good to win, you've got to be able to run the football in the 4-minute game. And if you can't, then teams are going to have a chance to come back. And, you know, and I feel like, you know, it's funny that we talked about this, the first half of football games last year with the Giants and, you know, the last 2 minutes of the game. I think all of us hope that that can be fixed, because that's an unbelievable statistic that the Giants went how many minutes without scoring in the last 2 minutes of the first half. Yep. What was it? 50? Was it 50 or was it more? What was it?
I think it was scratching the surface of the 70s, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, that is just unreal to me. And then the time that if you remember the time that they were going to score, they ended up turning it over or something. I guess it was just a number that probably will never, ever be broken. That's just unbelievable that you couldn't do that. So I'm hoping that the offense will fix that this year.
Well, one last point there before we wrap up, and I think it's absolutely on point in terms of the importance of the rushing attack to close out games, but also the red zone struggles, Jeff. When you can't run the football, you're now all of a sudden a one-facet offense. Where, all you could do is pretty much throw the ball, but you have to throw the ball into a very tight space.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can run the ball effectively within that 2-3 yard barometer, that allows you, to your point, to actually finish drives with touchdowns and not have to settle for field goals. So aside from the 2-minute drives that you were talking about, I would say at any part in the game, when you're in the red zone and you get into like a first and goal from the 5 and you have the ability to run and the opponent knows you can run and it still doesn't matter, that, to me, makes you that much more dangerous.
Yep. And if you have that running game, then your play-action game comes in, and now you can set and free some of those linebackers and safeties and throw the football in the end zone and score some points. So the game of football is all about running the football, and then it all goes on from there, your offense. You build upon that. But if you can't run the football, you become one-dimensional. Defenses are too good. They will shut you down if you become one-dimensional. And that's what they try to do. They try to make you one-dimensional so they can shut you down.
They get a good read on you, and if you don't adjust or you don't have a counterpunch, then clearly it's going to be a very long day at the office. So there's no doubt about that. That's been well documented. And that's why the Giants have also struggled to score points over the last few seasons, because of the inability to run the ball specifically in those tight spaces that we're talking about. All right, that is going to wrap up Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live.
That was a quick one.
It was. It flew by. And that's what happens when we have all the fun that we do on this program. It is part of the Giants platforms everywhere and Giants.com/podcast. So we'll be back up and running again on Monday at noon Eastern. We will recap rookie minicamp and continue to move ahead here as the offseason plays out. But now we actually have tangible evidence. We have a schedule, and you can digest all those games and plan accordingly, especially if you're going to be attending games throughout the course of the season. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadows. Stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest, and we will speak to you on Monday. Have a good weekend right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Have a good one.
Everyone gets their cravings while watching the games, and no one wants to be the one to miss the big play. Well, now Grubhub's got you covered. From the extras to the essentials, Grubhub now delivers all your go-to convenience items all day long. Whether it's that late-night snack craving or you forgot to get the paper towels from the grocery store, enjoy convenience delivered right to your door, just in the nick of time, and you'll never have to leave the house. Order your convenience items through the Grubhub app or online today.